first week, I was with my friends in New York, and we had a very nice time, just going around, eating, seeing places. The following week, my work started. I moved to Houston. I stayed with my brother-in-law. 2 weeks after I arrived in Houston, he left. He said he's going back to Nigeria. He had to put some things to do. So he left me alone. Do you know, in the 2 weeks I was alone, I wrote the book, Great Faith Can Be Yours. I used to write every day from my work. I worked in a cancer center. Well, I'm a pathologist, you know. So I was doing some training in cytopathology. I would go to work. Once my brother-in-law left, he left his car for me. So my movement was now easier. I used to close work around 4 because the bus ride starts by then. I leave my car at the, what they call park and ride. From there, I take the bus, drop me at my park and ride, go back home. By the time I do all the movement, everything, it's 6 o'clock. I eat. I start writing from my 7. And I write continuously to 12 midnight. By that time, it's 6 a.m. in Nigeria. I put a call through to my wife, which is for like 30 minutes. Then she gets up to go and start the day with the kids. Then I go to sleep. So in less than 2 weeks, I finish the book, Great Faith Can Be Yours. I write off the cuff. I don't do research writing, no. The way I'm teaching, that's the way I write. Now, what I'm saying that is that I began this when only my wife and I were there. No children, no friend, no enemy, no brother, no sister, just the two of us. So she wouldn't be able to talk to me once the computer is on my laps. I wrote the book, the tract, This Is Faith, at one sitting. I just sat down and wrote it one sitting. That tract, This Is Faith. I'm trying to bring out an issue here. If people ask me, how much time do you spend on ministry work? Do you know I can't think about it? That's why I'm telling you all these stories. I can't just think about it. I don't even know. I can wake up at night, I'm writing. Why I'm saying all of this is to let you know something. Can I tell you how the proportion of my time I spend for the ministry? I can't. I don't even know it. Because it's the center of everything that I do. That is why when people are saying they are calculating proportions for God, I don't understand how you do it. It shows that he's not in the center, he's in the periphery. That's what I'm trying to explain. And I've come with a challenge for Christians. It's not just about money now. It's about our whole life. To say, okay, this life I'm living, first of all, how is this centered on the kingdom of God? I hope you get my point. All this argument of proportion, you give God this percentage and all that, I think it's unnecessary. The percentage of my income I spend on my children, I don't know. On my wife, I have no idea. I just meet the needs as they arise. I hope you are getting my point here. I just meet the need as they arise. School is starting next week now. I don't know the proportion of my income that's going to go into paying school fees for 6 people. Is it just time to what? To pay. My wife will just come, okay, total. In fact, one day somebody asked me, this school is expensive. I said, I don't think so. He said, that's where your son goes to. I said, yes. How much do they pay? I said, let me call my wife. That was the day it dawned on me. I had no idea. I didn't have the flimsiest of ideas how much any one of these children was paying as school fees. And I called my wife. Okay, I can lose school. How much is the fees? She told me. I said, is that per term? We total everything. I said, okay, thank you very much. Why? I said, I'm in a discussion with some people. We're trying to check the cost of schools in Enugu. Comparing, I said, okay. Hung the phone. What you just said, that because most of the time, not most of all the time, what I get is a total when we are discussing. School is starting. This is a total fees. The percentage of my income that is of all our earnings, who knows? I don't know. You know, something happened recently. I won't give you details. I've been thinking that there are issues that I just feel like a man should do some more things from forcing this kingdom out. Then 2 things came to my mind. I said, very good. These things, they cost money. So when we are set, I make sure that I'm behind, use my financial muscle to, are you getting my point? What proportion of my income is that? I have no idea. That's my life. I don't believe in all this working calculator trying to settle God. You only settle people here in your periphery. I thank God he blessed me with my mother is very healthy. I thank God for it. Once one of my aunties was not feeling well, so my mother called me and told me about it. She wasn't asking me about money. She wanted me to give medical advice because of my own profession, and they are far away. So then I said, this is test they're asking for. It's going to be quite expensive. Let me send some money. Then, no, I didn't ask you about money. I said, but it's my auntie. I have to send some money. So she was like, hey, why so much burdens? I said, mommy, if she fell sick and needed a lot of money, are you saying that we won't bring the money to treat her? As if she died, won't we bury? I don't know whether you're getting my point. She said, it is true. I said, so please relax. Let me do the one I can while she's alive. God forbid, if my mom is ill, won't I spend money? Will I say what percentage of my income is going towards this treatment? I don't know whether you are getting my point. Am I going to be discussing that? No. I think we treat the kingdom of God like it's peripheral. And the pastors are the problem. We tell a lot of lies. Oh, we are very good at lying. I will give you a few of our lies so that you'll be immune next time you hear it. When I was coming to town, God said to me that anybody who will give one million, his life will not be the same again. It's a lie. Isn't that how God will be talking anyhow? You've heard more than 50 preachers say in the last 2 years. That's the proof that they are all telling lies. Once I was somewhere, one man of God went to pick another man of God. And that man of God said, is this your car? The car was old and rickety. This is the car you are driving? Wow, this is not right. He mounted the pulpit next day. This morning I was praying for you. And I asked the Lord, what do you need to do to bless these people? And God said to me, they need to buy my servant a car. Now watch. Have you heard that before? He's a lie. The man was lying. He was telling lies. I'm very sure. I would have respected him so much and said, boys, yesterday I saw this man of God's car. This is not right. Are we not children of God? Let's do something about it. That's honest. Say, God said to me, anyone who wants to break through, he will buy this servant a car. 99 of those who have bought have not broken through. They've only broken down. Do you know why? It's a lie. Why do they tell those lies? Because they don't know to teach the truth and be patient to let the truth work. That is why. The effect of it is that we treat God as if He's a place where we'll go and get something. You know, the market is not the center of my life. You know that. Market is a place I go and get something. We have a very large and beautiful mall in Enugu and many small ones. They're not the center of my life. If they tell me ShopRite is on fire, I won't leave my house. I won't even, you know, I'll say, this fire service is not there. And as I'm saying it, I'm tossing my peanuts into my mouth. Now, wow, this fire is a terrible thing. Why? It is not the center of my life. I don't know what I get to what I'm going to explain. That's how we pastors often have treated Christians to behave. When I go to the mall, I give them their money and I walk away. I get the thing I want. I take the kids there, you want to buy something, you pay for it and you go away. After that, it doesn't concern me really. And we bring it to the kingdom of God, we pastor, without realizing it. And we teach people to treat the things of God like that. When you want blessing, you give to Him. What matters to you is that you are giving and you are getting. The advancement of the kingdom for the sake of the kingdom is not paramount in your heart. As long as I have a place to give so I can get. And that is the reason why we have a lot of problems. We now revert to lying. Because the reason is that the Spirit of God does not energize the thing. You know, I like to give my brethren as an example, you know, my local brethren. Now, not because they are good people, even though they are good people, they are children of God, just like you. But because God gave us a system which I've seen it work, and I like to give that as an example. Money is hardly ever our problem. The only time we had problems, some of you came with me last time, You saw the way it operated. You saw the volume of people that came. We used the biggest hotel in that city. Everybody comes. You register your name. We toss you in the room. Especially if you are married. If you're single, you can share with some people. You know? 3 meals are provided. Nothing charged to anybody. It costs us a lot of money. Now, why I like this to tell the story is that, do you know, we never beg for money. Those of you who were there, we didn't have to take off. Did you see us take off at any time? No. When we finished, we just, okay, the visitors didn't attend our business meetings. We just ran our accounts. Okay, this is how much we spent. This is how much brethren gave. This is just at the end of, okay, so that's the end of it. That's the end. When it's time to collect money, I'm currently the president. I send an email around and say, guys, don't forget to. I told the story before. One day, one brother, they told me this amount to give. I called his friend. I said, how can he give that amount? That's wickedness. Tell him he's bad. Listen, no promise of any breakthrough. We have never promised anybody anything. The only thing they've gotten from my mouth in these years I've been president for some time now, all right, are 2 words in the era of money. One, a charge. 2, appreciation. That's all. Occasionally, I charge and say, like about 2 years ago, for the first time in years, accounts were rendered at the end of the day. They told me we were short by a few hundreds of thousands of naira, which we didn't borrow from outside. We borrowed from ourselves. We had another account which kept some money for something. So we borrowed from it. All right? We do that. Before the convention starts, we borrow from there. Then when we are done, okay, we put it back. So that one, they had not finished putting it back. And I was alarmed. Why was I alarmed? Why should one chase 1,000 and 2 chase 10,000 except their Lord gave them up? I said, God, what did we do that you let us go broke? So I called my friend and said, what is going on? Then we came to a conclusion. We did not sin. Nobody took another person's wife. That's my point. We didn't go to Jericho and collect the things that were under the ban. No. What simply happened was that brethren were not recognizing that they were growing. So you see a brother give 100,000 naira today. Next year, give 100,000 naira. The following year, give 100,000 naira. Meanwhile, in that period, he went from buying a Tokumbo Camry to buying a brand new Camry. He's still giving us 100,000 naira. Are you getting my point? So I wrote a charge to brethren, and I called it the 100,000 limit. And I charged people. I said, please, brethren, you are not behaving up to the level that God has raised you. Look, the other day, one of our sisters, they didn't even tell me this one. I'm the president. They didn't even tell me. And she needed surgery. They just sent themselves, text to themselves, okay, what do we do? I told you the same people wanted to give out, Choices. Plus Choices and this book, they raised almost 500,000 naira. Text message, that is WhatsApp chat. Brethren, we have to preach the gospel. This book has been a blessing. But Pastor Banky has allowed us to print our own. So please, we need money. They got that 440,000 naira. The emphasis, no promise. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. Nobody said, you see, when you do this, that thing you have been looking for, the Lord will now do it. This is all olaism. We are stealing. When you are trying to motivate wicked people, when you have not taken time out to motivate believers with truth, tell them the truth. I must say, my brethren are a unique set of human beings. They are Christians like you and I. Of course, I'm one of them, right? They are Christians. It's just that it's the foundation and the truth they are operating by. Nobody promises anybody anything. We make demands. What do you mean? God bless you like this. One of our friends saw a house. Now, listen to this. He saw a house. He's a minister in the north, called north. And he said a Christian wanted to sell a house. The only person offering to buy was an Elijah, and he was provoked. He told the brother, don't worry, I will buy the house. He put a call through to me. He said, what do you think? I said, I think you should buy it. He said, I don't have a dime. He said, I can't borrow money because I can't pay back. I said, go and meet that brother. Tell him you will give him 10% extra if he lets you pay in 6 months. Or 20% extra if he gives you a year to pay. So he called the guy and said, listen, I want to buy your house. If you give me 6 months to pay, you get 10% extra. If you give me a year to pay, I give you 20% extra. That's a few million. So we created a project. So I called one of our brothers. I said, you are our finance minister. I'm the preaching man. I'm not the finance guy. So you arrange the money. We have to pay this guy this amount of money to buy that house. He said, yes, sir. He said, I called him. You know, Jesus would say, go to the house of him that is worthy. He knew those who were worthy. He called, say, oh boy, you have money. How much are you giving me? That one said, half a million. Thank you. Hey, you have money. How much are you giving? You have money. He said, let me pray about it. Once he said, let me pray about it, he's not calling you back. He raised the whole money. When that man of God went to pay that guy, that one was shocked. This is the interesting thing. Nobody promised anybody one kobo. We didn't promise anything. That brother doing it just said, look, you know this man. You know him. You know what he does. It's time for him to own that house. What are you dropping? So the guy was okay. I send the 500,000 naira. Thank you. Hangs the phone. Nobody there is discussing what proportion of your income have you given. We treat God as if he's peripheral. We go after our... You see, most of these people that spend, say, for 2 years to go abroad, to go and blow 10 years' income, ask the same person, listen, no, we need to do this for the kingdom's sake. He doesn't have money. He has paid a tithe, and God should be grateful. After all, the other children of God are not that faithful. Hey, the thing rhyme. Yeah. It wasn't deliberate. Honestly, he just thinks God should be grateful. And he goes to pray with a kind of confidence. Of all your children, how many of them are regular tithers? Not only do I tithe, I sow kingdom seed. On top of that, I give offerings. What have I not heard about this tithing matter? That if you're in a church, you're not tithing, you're sowing seed into other people's fields. That with your tithe, you buy field. The way we invent things from these scriptures, you go look and say, is it the Bible of the Mormons you are reading or the same one I have in my hand? Look, what am I going to say? I think Christians, because I'm watching my time, my message is that we must learn to be kingdom-centered in our reasoning. Not as if we pay God off. No. That, listen, you were given life for this purpose. There are two sides to the kingdom. One, the birthing of the kingdom inside you, very important, which makes you an effective salt of the earth. And then number two, the kingdom was advanced by your life, by your hands, with everything that you do in your work, in your profession. At least you are not starting business like, how do I make money? When I'm starting a business, what's in my mind is, how would this advance the kingdom? That's what's in my mind. If it doesn't look like it's going to contribute to the kingdom, I forget it now. Of course, you already understand that kingdom does not mean how will our church grow, which has been the problem. We pastors, we like to personalize and... I'm looking for a word of how to, you know, attach Christians to ourselves. I've heard of pastors who fight over a member. My sheep is now going to your church. You're not afraid. You died for who? How can you think that somebody is your own? No human being is yours. There are people who fight. There are pastors, if they hear that you took their offering and took to another church, whoa. All kinds of messages show up. I don't want to go into them now. But what I'm trying to emphasize, all right, okay, is that people who even want to be committed, they are now wrongly committed. They are not committed to true kingdom building. Their commitment is build up a denomination, build up a particular ministry. I don't mean to be critical, but let me explain something to you. Ministry and church are two different things. What you are participating in this evening is called ministry. What I mean by that? There is a gift of God that was placed inside me, with which he said, go and teach people my word, my truth. So anytime you listen to me, you are participating in my ministry. Are you getting my point? Ministry. That's not a church. Church is when all of us are gathered. So every church is made up of many ministries. I hope you get my point. Everybody sitting down here is a ministry. Everyone sitting down here is a ministry. Many of us are committed to a ministry without having a kingdom or church mindset. Are you getting my point? And then I just say, okay, now listen, commitment to ministry is good. I'm not saying it's bad, but listen to what I'm going to say. It's not about, Pastor Banky, yes, I am committed to Pastor Banky. Please don't be committed to me. Because I can't die for you. The one who died for you is the one you should be committed to. So that if you see me preaching the word of Christ, and the perception in your soul is that this ministry should be helped. Are you getting what I'm saying? Your commitment is not to me. It is to him who owns me and you. So if he now says to you through different methods that, okay, go and help that guy. You're not committed to me. You are committed to him and can help me as long as I am committed to him. If tomorrow I begin preach, Islam is also a way to cry to God. As long as you are doing good, even if you are a Guru Maharaji, just make sure you are doing good. Oh boy, withdraw your money. I hope you are getting my point. Withdraw your money. Because when you sit down and see me lying and lying and lying and lying, oh boy, go to God and say, sir, see this money that you gave me for the propagation of your truth. I think the truth is no longer in that fellow's mouth. So God will ask, okay, you know what you do? Even though he's lying, see, make sure he has food to eat. Because even unbelievers, I give them food. So, but the bulk of the money, please, I'll show you who else is telling the truth. Because your commitment is to the gospel, it's not to an individual. I hope you're getting my point. All I'm going to say is that Christians, that's part of their problems. Some who are even dedicated, their dedication has been channeled to what is wrong, what is not fruitful. We've taken the body of Christ and broken it to pieces. You know, once I heard something very interesting. In one Anglican church, they asked the pastor, why are you preaching all these doctrines on money? No. First fruits, redemption of second born. First born, okay, actually. Not first, second. Just joking. You know what the pastor said? That our people are taking our money to the Pentecostal churches. I don't know whether you're getting what I'm saying. Igman realized that every January, offering they drop. Why? Somebody has gone outside to preach to them that the blessing for 2015 is tied to the whole of your January salary coming to us. Then we'll now bless it, because if your first salary is holy, the salaries for the rest of the year will be holy. I don't have time to discuss in the details. That is not true. That's not the correct. That's not godly scripture. It's not scripture. So the pastor now realized that, listen, these Pentecostal people are collecting this, this budget is dropping on their side. So he said, how are they doing it? He heard. He came to church and began to preach holiness of the first fruit also inside their own church. The same gospel. Someone asked him, why are you doing it? He said, they are taking our money outside. Listen to me. That is not how to handle, even if you had to solve that situation. Teach your people the truth. Teach them the truth. If they know the truth, they will not be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. But if you think it is right, then let it be taught because you think it is right, not because you say, our money is going somewhere. Please, I hope you are getting what I'm going to say in all of these things. What's my message today? I want Christians to have a mindset of the gospel of Jesus must advance. The disciples, the nations must be discipled. I told you, the brothers that gathered and said that they wanted to get those books, and some of our brethren contributed money. And then, at the end of the day, they are planning to distribute close to 10,000 books. Let me put it like that. Purely to senior secondary schools. Why? Because they said this book, it helps young people learn righteousness. If one of them said it has become almost a manual in a particular campus for young believers. So they said, let us take this thing and carry it to secondary schools. And they just share it with brethren. Say, brethren, this is what we want to do. And brethren began to contribute money. A few thousands have been delivered to them. They told them that they restarted their evangelistic work. What are they planning to get personally? Nothing. It is just that I believe in this gospel. And this gospel of the kingdom must be preached to the ends of the earth. It's not a peripheral thing. It's not when I have time. The work I am doing has... Look, I challenge everybody. Go back home and go and pray. Say, God, how's my life centered on the kingdom of God? My friend, Pastor Courage, he told me something. He lives amongst Muslims. He's in Sokoto. He said something, which is what I want to just leave as an illustration. You know, you can take lessons from other people. Do you understand? God will tell you, look at that unrighteous judge. Look at what he said. He will tell you, look at this servant that he said is wiser in the affairs of the children of darkness are wiser in the affairs of light, their own time. You know what I'm talking about, right? Than the children of light, okay? So we can look at things. He told me something. That's my friend, Pastor Courage. That up north, you see some interesting phenomena. A house may be open for rent. And you come to rent it, and they find out that you're a pastor. And the owner will refuse. He has no problem with you. But he says, let the house be vacant. It is my contribution to jihad. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. That he's a church there. Maybe churches, you know, there, churches don't, owning their property there is you have to. There, you can't rent. It's very difficult to rent. Very, very difficult. Not totally impossible, but very hard. And you can see a decent hall open. I want to rent. Once they hear it is church ministry, the man says no. And is his reason for saying no and preaching with that he says, let me deny this church accommodation as my contribution to jihad. Is that mindset I'm talking about? That's what we need to learn from. I'm not saying we use their method. Are you getting my point? We are not allowed to do that. Our method is different. I'm not going to say that I won't give this man food because if you see a terrorist, you give him food. That's Christianity. But then, I'm bringing it for us from there, the mindset. You know, that woman in the Bible, the Shunammite woman, do you know why she did what she did? Which is why God blessed her like that. She was not looking for a blessing. She looked at Elisha and said, sir, you look like a man of God. Come and eat. The man came and ate. Next time she saw her, you look like a man of God. Come and eat. The man came and ate. Bible says that after a while, it came about that he always used to come over there to come and have himself refreshed. Then the woman approached her husband, and which is what I'm talking about. He said, I perceive that this man is a holy man of God. Why don't we make his ministry easier? Let us build an extra room for him here. My emphasis is, she said, this is a holy man of God. You know, where we have had a problem, and God is already helping you, if you are listening to me, you are not like that in Jesus' name. Where the church generally has had a problem in modern times is that they say, you give to the man of God so that you can be blessed. They are not kingdom-minded, they are self-centered. We now use the story of that woman to try and get a blessing. Meanwhile, that was not the issue. That was not the issue. That woman did what she did because of her, let me use her own word now, of her kingdom-mindedness, not because of her own personal desire for blessing. Which is what I'm teaching to Christians. Please don't give to kingdom world ministries or the preaching of Pastor Banky, because you think that will bring a blessing into your life. Please stop that nonsense. That's rubbish giving. If you don't believe that what I'm saying needs to be, you know, spread abroad, don't give money to it. If you're intending to give money, you say, ah, if I give to this guy, I will be blessed. Don't give me anything, please. I don't want it. The money is not good. You're not giving me a right spirit. Your money carries your spirit. I hope you know that. But if you look and say, ah, this word though is true. We need to spread it. Let me join in spreading it. Then that money is good.
then that money is good.
What's my emphasis?
Kingdom-mindedness in our actions, in our activities, in the way we give money as Christians. Not this self-centered thing.
There's something I mentioned briefly last time. There is what is even called the giving ministry. I can't discuss it, develop it in details now because of time. There are those that is their own job. That is their job. When you have given 10%, they don't want to give 10%. They don't even calculate in percentage. Their own is like, okay, this guy is preaching. Me, I'm giving money. That is separation of labor, division of labor. One of the things I prayed then, when I started ministry, when Kingdom was started, believe me, my wife and I paid for everything. But I used to pray to God. I said, Lord, this must not go on for a long time. Not because I was unwilling to raise the money. I said, but I want to know that I was called. Are you getting my point? That I was sent. The Lord sent me and His Spirit. There's a scripture, there's a principle like that behind it. So when you send, no, you have to send people. So I began to pray. The Bible said, Jesus said, pray the Lord of the harvest that He will send laborers into His harvest. So we began to pray. And God began to send laborers. So that as of today, if I like, don't give Kingdom God one kobo, all the bills are paid. It's just because, of course, if you believe in something, your money goes into it too. That's the only reason why I do it, but not because we're in lack. I'm explaining something to us. We must be kingdom what? Minded. It's not about it's just the thing that is the center of your heart. Remember, kingdom is not just increase of the size of our church. I need to emphasize that. There are times you will refuse to do a contract. Do you know why? Because you say it's too dirty. If I do it, I am promoting lawlessness. That's what I'm talking about. You will lose money. I've heard people say that, you know, why we do that? I mean, it's because without it, how would the church get money to finance the advancement of the gospel? That's rubbish thinking. That's total rubbish. Because the kingdom is a finance about what? Advancement of truth. How can you use a lie to finance what is true? Sometimes you just refuse to do something. Not because it is evil in itself. Let me give you an example. Just to give us an example now. Or let me finish making the statement and give the example. Not because it is evil in itself, but because you look at it and say, this thing is a contradiction to the promotion of kingdom values. It's not everywhere you work. What are they doing in the place? There are businesses that you just look at, their business structure is a lie. They promote lies. Many of these pyramid, network marketing and pyramid is lie. I didn't say all. Many. You look at it critically. They say you'll be selling all kinds of things. You will make money if you come in early. But ask yourself, at the end of the day, those who are coming late, they are all going to lose money. You are making money from other people's loss. That's not good. Real business, both parties must benefit. I'm going to Lagos. I go and enter a vehicle. If I needed to trek or drive my car, it would take me a lot of time or cost me a lot of money. But I go to the park, I pay maybe 5,000 naira. That's less than if I drove my own car. I have benefited. The man carries 10 passengers inside that his small bus. They are all comfortable. And he collects his 50,000 naira and makes a profit on it. He has benefited. I have benefited. That is business. That is business. There are things you just refuse to do. One brother once, I asked him about a particular bank. He's very good with this talk, stuff like that. I was asking him some questions about some things. We're just discussing about it. I said, this particular bank, can you imagine? Their share price, went down. We're just discussing it. I said, I assume this is a good time for people who want to buy. He said, no, that he doesn't buy it. I said, why not? He said, they do business in a way that offends my conscience. He said, they pay good dividends, but I can't take their money. That's why if it's a Christian tells me you are working for Nigeria Tobacco Company, I think your head is not correct. What are you doing selling cigarettes? What good does he have? The only thing that company manufactures is poison. This is not about, I'm a Christian, I'm not a Christian. No.
It is that the only product of a company is poisonous. It kills human beings. It creates addiction. It ruins their breath. Causes cancer for them in the lungs, in the kidneys. Affects the babies of the women that have those that smoke. Then you are there promoting it. What are you preaching?
Once I went to a man's office.
I said, Pastor Bank, yeah, there's something I want to introduce to you. He was showing me checks. 1 million, 1 million, 900,000. I said, this is where I get my money from, not from this. He was working in a big establishment, not from here. So what do you want me to do? He said, we'll sell something. By the time you finish, yeah, I told my wife about it before. How are you looking at him and smiling? How you throw me off anything is when the only attraction is the checks. I know you and Satan, you are friends. I looked at him. At the end of the day, somebody is going to get hurt. What am I doing? So you push me high up on the pyramid. I know something about pyramid schemes. The bottom always collapses. As a believer, don't even desire the money. Not let me get in early, I can get out. Yes, you can get in early, you can get out. We know. But then, there are those who will not get out. You are partner to hurting them. That's what I mean. By your whole life, that's how you reason. That this thing I'm doing, how is it promoting truth in the society? How is it promoting what is right? That's what we mean by Christians and kingdom. Not expanding our church, come to our church, so that one of our numbers increase, we think we are doing well. No. There is the truth of God, it has to be preached. And it's not about, that is, look for every opportunity. Are you getting what I'm saying? Then you go somewhere, you see him, and say, this guy is a powerful man of God. What does he do? He goes to rural villages and he evangelizes there. Don't let him walk away. Say, sir, I heard this is what you do. Tap your pocket. You don't have money, but you have 200 naira. Recharge card, 200. Put on your phone. I'm serious. Why don't you just walk away back to the village? What will he eat? What will he eat? You don't have money. You're going to be at the end of the month and say, and your friend said, this is what he does. Once I was in church, there's one of my guys I know, he's a doctor. I said, has work? He said, no, he's not work. He's facing his ministry full time. I said, that's the only job you do now. He said, yes. I reached for my checkbook immediately. Wrote him a check. Take. What boy has to eat? All you are doing is going around preaching? I said, boy has to eat. I hope you are getting my point. There's a school near your house. Do you get my point? It's not just about money. These young boys need the truth. Many of these young boys and girls who are doing what is bad, they don't know better. Let your mindset be, no, it shouldn't remain like that. What can I do? I hope you are getting my point. It's time for us to be responsible the kingdom way. That's what I'm teaching. Let's go home. We'll still continue teaching. Let's bow down our heads. Let's just say, Father, thank you. Remember, it's a matter of what...